this series of archaeologist digs near Luxor, finding this door to the afterlife, this is something we've always known about. Is this dramatically new in terms of a discovery?
Well, I think it's very important because it keeps the idea of the door to the afterlife, the stargate to the afterlife, in fact, in the public consciousness. I think we're gonna find extraordinary things coming out of Egypt in the next couple of years, and this is just one more beat in this kind of dance that's being performed right now, where the ancient world is starting to really give up its secrets, and it's asking us to consider, well, how do we feel about the afterlife? How do we feel about unearthing a 3,500-year-old red granite doorway that purports to tell how an individual can transform themselves into a god being and enter what the Egyptians, they didn't call it the afterlife, they called it the field or the dimension of the blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're really dealing with here, George, is the ancient Egyptian science of immortality. And it's coming to us at a time when we're reevaluating our place in the cosmos and recognizing the existence of other dimensions. And now we have to ask the question, well, what did the ancient Egyptians know about other dimensions? Where is this field or dimension of the blessed that they speak of? And how do we transform ourselves into beings capable of accessing that dimension?
And how did they learn this, William? Were they taught this from above, or was this trial and error? What do you think happened there?
Well, I mean, when you read the ancient Egyptian myths, they are always talking about divine beings, even light beings, who were their great teachers. The gods themselves taught them how to affect these transformations. And one ancient name for these beings is the Aku, which means the glorified ones, the instructors. And it's kind of interesting that one of the terms for the Great Pyramid was place of Aku, place of glory, or place of the wise instructed ones. And so that was the message that comes through loud and clear from the mystic side of ancient Egypt, is that there's the existence of these ancient god beings who are pictured as light beings who bequeathed to humankind the ultimate secrets of the stars. I mean, remember, the ancient Egyptians believed that the soul itself became a star in the heavens once it passed all the tests and entered into the field or dimension of the blessed.
Well, that's true. It's just they just seem to possess so much incredible knowledge that at least the Western folks have no clue about.
Well, and we're just now coming, I think, into a level of mind, an understanding of science, where we can look back and talk about this intelligently. The backstory here is something that many listeners are familiar with, because when we're talking about this particular red granite door, this stargate discovered at Karnak, and I call it a stargate because that's how the Egyptians viewed these doors, and it's kind of like, remember in the movie Stargate when they haul out that round ring out of ancient Egypt? Well,
yeah.
They're not round rings. They're rectangular
sure.
doorways, and they're composed of red granite, which was mined at Aswan. This red granite, they call it a firestone, and they call it that because it's loaded with pure quartz crystal. And crystal, as we know, is a receiver and a transmitter. So these doors, they hold tremendous energy, just like all the red granite statues do in ancient Egypt. And the dynasty out of which this door emerged is that famous 18th dynasty, which was a renaissance period in ancient Egypt, where you have figures like the Queen Hatshepsut, who is massively obsessed with immortality in the afterlife. And you get another name, Thutmose III, who is familiar to us from the work of Lawrence Gardner as the individual who is manufacturing the white powder gold, that immortality substance. So these are some of the pieces that start to slide into place that help us to understand or illuminate the mysteries of the afterlife and how we access that other dimension. They believed in the use of white powder gold, this immortality substance that was actually put on a red granite offering table in front of this door. And this is a very important point about this, George, because that door literally was considered a gateway to the dimension of the blessed for the deceased sage, the vizier in this case, or the pharaoh who is transformed into a god, and they would put bread and wine in front of these false doors. Now, this is extremely extremely important because about 1,500 years after the creation of these doors, we get another story of an individual offering bread and wine, who then, in this case, turns himself into the doorway. I'm speaking, of course, of the story of Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when we start to piece this together, we start to understand that the ancient Egyptians were source material for a lot of the metaphysical concepts that found their way into the Christian story of rebirth and resurrection. But what was often omitted in the Christian telling of the story was some of the Egyptian ideas about soul technology that was utilized to effect this transformation.
Was Egyptian knowledge, William, lost knowledge? You know, it's picked up, of course, with some of the hieroglyphs, and, you know, mythologists like you have been able to find and uncover information, but generally, is it lost knowledge?
Oh, it's totally lost. I mean, we're just now able to glimpse the magnificence of the the original revelation of ancient Egypt, which, again, came from the stars, with an intermediate period perhaps in another lost civilization, Atlantis. I mean, there seems to be no question that there are many, many layers to the ancient Egyptian story, and actually call it all ancient Egypt is technically incorrect. It's like a cake, a multi-layered cake there with civilization after civilization coming and going.
You've been to Egypt. Do you get that mystical feeling when you're out there?
Every time. I mean, every single time. I was there as recently as this past January, and it's always something new. And I really want to tip my hat to the Egyptian Antiquities Authorities, Dr. Zahi Hawass, and everybody involved there, because they are doing such an amazing job to bring to the public this ancient knowledge, or at least the symbols of this ancient knowledge, the remnants of it. While the traditional Egyptologists, I feel, underinterpret ancient Egyptian mythology, and especially their understanding of other dimensions and transformation. Today, Egyptology is doing a phenomenal job of bringing this to the public and ultimately preserving it.
I sometimes think Zahi has a little bit more information than he gives us, William, because he is an expert on releasing things in stages. And I think he's found things, he just hasn't said anything about yet.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the stuff that they could potentially be coming upon is absolutely revolutionary. I mean, and others of it just kind of escapes public attention. I mean, like, for example, there was that announcement recently of the understanding of that when they did the DNA analysis of King Tut and learned his lineage. And, well, I mean, that whole process, 2 years of DNA testing and CAT scans on 16 royal mummies, finally identified who they believed the father of Tutankhamun was, and that's none other than Akhenaten, the great heretic king, as he's called, the great religious revolutionary and enlightener who just immediately preceded Hatshepsut in this 18th dynasty, this Renaissance. And today, now we think we actually have the mummy of Akhenaten. And what this will spurn in Egypt is a massive movement in the tourist area. They'll probably, they've got a new Akhenaten museum planned that will showcase that mummy near Amarna, his capital, way out in the middle of the desert. So it's these kinds of discoveries that get the Egyptians really excited, keeps people from around the world coming to Egypt. Mm-hmm. And the more we can stay in this game, the longer we stay in this game, George, the more we're ultimately going to discover about the true origins of the secrets of Egypt and what they mean to each of us.